T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Clemson will beat Syracuse 60-6 tomorrow. My name is Mark Ryan. I approve this message, and you're listening to the most interactive sports radio show in the state of South Carolina. It's fantastic to be here with you, rolling on. It's honestly hard for me to say that. Look, I want both of the area teams to do well. I want Clemson to do well. I want South Carolina to do well. I want Furman to do incredibly well. I want all of them to do well. But I was born in Syracuse, New York. Didn't live there long before moving to Texas. As a matter of fact, you know, when you move at the age of 4, you know, it's like all you remember are like still images in your mind about the way that the house looked. And I remember in Syracuse, New York, one time I got trapped underneath my sheets and I felt like I couldn't breathe and I couldn't figure out how to get out when I was a toddler. That's basically my only memory. But Syracuse, you know, in the early to mid 90s was actually a doggone good football team. And it pains me to see kind of that they've just had such a hard time. Remember when they had the missile Kadri Ismail, who was the brother of Rocket Ismail way back in the day? And like this dude, you couldn't defense him. He was just really, really good. And then they had Donovan McNabb, and McNabb was just a beast for that team. Chandler Jones played at Syracuse. They had a lot of good players, man. And going to the Carrier Dome when that place was rocking was one of the hardest places to play. I remember Florida lost at Syracuse. I remember Florida State lost at Syracuse. Like, there was something about the Carrier Dome and the way they played inside that building, freezing cold outside. I don't know what happened, man. I don't know what happened. But make no mistake about it, that is the worst team in the ACC. Syracuse is the worst team in the ACC. The best players no longer want to play there. You know, Syracuse was hurt. I know they did it for financial reasons, but they were hurt by the dissolving of the Big East. You know, being aligned with Miami when Miami was in its heyday and Virginia Tech with Frank Beamer and Virginia Tech in their heyday, that raised all boats. I mean, it really, really did. It simply raised each and every one of them, and they just haven't been the same since. They haven't been the same since. So I think Trevor Lawrence and Clemson score early. I think they score often. Syracuse, again, lost to Liberty last week. I'm not trying to denounce Liberty in any way. They might be a borderline top 25 team. They're unbeaten right now. But come on, man. A Power 5 conference team should be able to beat Liberty, for crying out loud. And Syracuse could not do that. A 46-point spread. 46-point spread in a conference game. What are your scores, Clemson and Syracuse? I'm just curious how high this thing goes. Lonzo, what say you?
I don't know. I think that he may call off the dogs. Although, let's face it, when the reserves get in, they do just as well. But putting up that many points the week before, are they really going to do it again?
Yes.
Yeah, they probably will. I'm going to go with 80. You know, why not?
80-8?
Well, let's go with 80-14.
I'm
going to give Syracuse 14.
Score.
Yeah.
I'm going 60-6. God, this is humiliating. The other thing I want to mention, I want to ask you guys this question. If you look at sports viewership, and I'm getting this from sportsmediawatch.com here, okay? If you look at sports media ship, These numbers, ladies and gentlemen, are awful. They are awful. Check this out, okay? Here are the sports that are doing better than they normally do. The PGA Tour and the WNBA Finals. And that's it. Here are the sports doing worse than they normally do in a given year, with the percentage that they are doing worse. You ready for this? The NFL is 13% less. Major League Baseball's regular season, 26% less. College football, 30% less. The Belmont Stakes, 32% less. The NBA playoffs, boy, we just stopped caring about the NBA playoffs, 37% less ratings. Stanley Cup playoffs, 38% less. MLB divisional series in the playoffs, 40% less. The Kentucky Derby, 43% less ratings. You see where this number's going? U.S. Open tennis, down 45%. NBA Finals, down 50%. Are you kidding me? Down 50%. The Preakness Stakes, down 56%. And finally, taking the cake in a way nobody wants, the Stanley Cup Final, 61% lower ratings than a normal year. I am fascinated to hear y'all's theories for this at 1-844-477-3776. That number again is 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. The text line is 71307. Start your text with the word ESPN and away you go. Twitter is there for you as well, where if you follow us on Twitter, at ESPN Upstate, at Lonzo on Word, at Mark Ryan on Air, that's at M-A-R-C Ryan on Air. If you follow us at ESPN Upstate, we'll give you a shout-out here on the show. We'll give you personally a shout-out. And then finally, email. You can email us on the show, Mark Ryan, M-A-R-C Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com. All of the different ways to get in touch with us. I don't want to hear this is about social justice stuff, because it's not. Okay.
Well, you know what? I got to say that's part of it. But I think the biggest deal was when sports went away. I had several discussions with other people. The biggest fear for me is when sports went away that people would find something else to do. And when they found something else to
do. What else is there to do?
When they found something.
What else is there
you know,
to do?
Spend time with family and find other interests. And when they found other interests, they realized, you know what? I don't need sports as much as I thought I did. And I really think that has a lot to do with it.
You got to be kidding me. You don't think people were just pining and crying in their beer that they didn't have sports and like, man, I can't. I was, Lonzo. I was. I had the greatest challenge of I think we both had the greatest challenge of our professional careers, having to try to be interesting on a sports show with that thing that you do not being in existence. Right? I mean, that was the hardest. Dude, from March 12th to the end of July, April, May, June, July, 4.5 months, that is about 150 days, you and I did a four-hour sports show every day with nary a sport in existence. That was the hardest thing we've ever had to do.
You know what? If that is the hardest thing we ever have to do, it wasn't that bad. It really wasn't. I thought we did... basically what we normally do anyway, just didn't have sports in it. I mean, other shows really, really struggled because all they were stat shows. That's not this show. I'm just saying there are people who went away from sports and they may have been marginal fans, not Uber fans like you, but marginal fans. And then they realize, man, I save a lot of money by not going to those games. I save a lot of money by doing this. I've gotten closer to my family. I guess I didn't need sports as bad as I thought.
So you think that's the number one thing that happened?
I think that is part of it. You said not to talk about the social justice, but that is a major part too.
I think that's a really minor part. I think the big part, Lonzo, is that people are stressed. They are taxed. Their money isn't coming in. And they don't have time.
If you are on the other side of a political view, then you would be thinking
differently. Okay, well, let me ask you this. What did the Stanley Cup do politically? Nothing. They had nothing to do with it.
Dude, it's hockey. Hockey is so fringe.
Okay,
it's always been fringe.
Okay, but hear me out. They have 61% lower ratings than they normally do. Okay, than they normally do. So Stanley Cup, they don't have any social justice stuff going on. I mean, what is the reason for that? The Preakness Stakes is down 56%. I can tell you that horse racing sucks. I can't tell you why it's 56% lower than it normally is.
My opinion with horse racing is people just like to people watch. And if there are no people there, what's the point? They don't tune in to watch the actual horse race. They want to see what people are wearing. I mean, it's such a big deal about the fashion of those horse races. That's what people tune into that to see. Because the race itself lasts, what, like a minute and a half, 2 minutes, something like that? It's over.
It's my sex life, Lonzo. It's 4 hours of hype for 2 minutes of action. That is horse racing in its gist.
You need to work on your stamina.
I really, really do. I really do, in more ways than one. NBA Finals, okay. Social justice, I could see that being a part of it. U.S. Open Tennis? Am I just unaware of some major social justice thing that happened
who
there?
Who watches tennis? Do you know
45%, anybody? It's 45% less than it normally is,
Lonzo. That's probably not a hard number to compute when no one watches it. I mean,
that's not the case
so
at all.
So we dropped from 10 people watching it to 2. I mean, you know, that's not dude, really hard to figure out.
Listen, Steffi Graf is rolling over in her grave, which is really hard to do
because she's
still
not
alive.
Dead. Yeah.
Really, really hard to do.
I noticed you didn't name a modern person. Anyway.
Serena Williams, yeah. All of these people, right?
Yeah, Serena, after that, who?
Well, we have no good male tennis players. Coco Gauff? Goff?
Yes. Coco?
Yeah, there you go. See that?
She had one big upset, and that's why she was. That's why you remember.
Let's see, we got Venus Williams out there as well.
Wow,
she's still playing, right?
I don't know if she is or not. I'm not sure.
Venus Williams. Okay, Lonzo. On the men's side, name as many tennis players as you can. Go.
There's that one French dude that wins all the.
Can you name one? Can you name one male tennis player, Lonzo? Name one.
Oh my God.
I
know.
You know, Jeremy Pruitt fired a coach in the middle of the game. I'm about to fire you in the middle of a show.
Hey, dude.
In the middle of a show.
If you are half a producer,
this should be a promo. Because this is hilarious.
Mark, by the way, I'm not going to let you get one up on me and make a promo out of it. And I really wish you would fire me right now. This power that you're flaunting. Because it's 6:15 on a Friday. I'll be hitting the road. Let's go.
Name one male tennis player, Lonzo. You can't do it. I don't think you can do it. Here you go. You ready? Can you not do it?
The whole time you've been looking this up.
No.
Yeah, you have.
Lonzo, I can only name three, okay? The three that I can name are Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic. They're 1, 2, and 3. I don't think Federer's still playing.
Nadal and Djokovic are. I'm pretty sure Federer retired.
He's still playing.
I'll look that up, but I think Federer retired.
All right. A texter says, hey, Mark, let's be honest. Who would want to tune in to a Dallas Stars versus Tampa Bay Lightning NHL hockey finals even in a normal year? They've had some crap matchups like that, and I hate to say it's a crap matchup because I'm from the Tampa area. Let's see, a texter says, Mark, I'm in my 30s, and I have a little brother that is 21. It seems that the people about that age or younger really don't care about sports as much as we do.
I agree with that. And I will also say, you know, baseball's lost interest even with you. You know how I know that? The World Series is on tonight, and you haven't mentioned it once in this entire show.
I'm so depressed about the World Series, Lonzo.
Is that what you're going with?
Yeah, no, that's the truth. I don't have any faith, even though they won game two. I have no faith. You know, you ever see a game happen and, like, everything perfect happens to you and you barely won? The Rays aren't winning another game in this series, and it's depressing to me. And I also feel like without Atlanta playing in it, I wonder how much local interest they have. But if you are interested in the World Series, where can you hear it, Lonzo?
Right here, 7:30 tonight. And tomorrow.
You know, Lonzo, I'll be totally honest with you. This thing that this texter just said, and by the way, thanks so much for the text, guys. This is the concern for sports media, honestly. That, you know, it seems that the majority of people, this texter's in his 30s, and he says, Mark, I care. I'm down. I'm into it. I'm incredibly passionate. But once the first digit is 2 and younger, they don't care about sports as much as we do. Number one, Lonzo, you have a son that's in that age bracket. What do they care about? Number two, is that ultimately going to spell the doom for all of us in sports media?
All right, I can give you a small sample size. First of all, my son is in his 20s. My daughter is in her 20s. Daughter not into sports at all. My son will sit down and watch it. He's more into video games. I know two other millennials who work or have worked here, and that would be Patrick and Tim, and they both are in their mid-20s and extremely into sports. So, but they are also, they went into this profession to be in sports on the radio. So, and I've never, my son played sports, but the fact that he's not really that into it, I mean, that's up to him. But he's more into video games than he is into watching sports.
I'll tell you, the networks have picked up on this as well. Listen to Zach Fain at Zach_Fain90 tweeting into the show here. He says, it was hard to find the NHL playoff on TV for myself personally. It was always a recap or a replay. I don't think it was aired down here as much as possibly up north. That's not true. And he says, Mark, Syracuse got beat by Liberty. Clemson's punter may get to play a whole quarter as the quarterback. I am tired of them playing these candy-ass teams. It always comes back to bite us during bowl season. And this is a Clemson fan. Do you know, like, I have not been able to believe this. I went to watch a Stanley Cup final game, which I feel like is almost an embarrassing admission at this point, given its minus 61% ratings. I was literally the only one. You ever watch those shows and you're like, am I the only one watching this? Like, I watch this show, Aerial America. It looks at every single state from, like, a bird's eye view, and I love it. And each state is like an hour. And if you've never been to Oregon, it's like, I want to go to Oregon. I want to see it from an aerial view the whole hour. And when
I swear sometimes I think you're 72 years old. I just want to point that out.
I watch 60 Minutes. I watch Aerial America. I love it. I love it, Lonzo. And when I watch that, I'm like, I feel like I'm the only person watching this show. I felt like that as I was trying to watch the Stanley Cup final. And, you know, they had 2 million people watching. That was it. 2 million people watched it. When LeBron James burps, more people watch the burp than that. You know, they posted a stat that it was like Louisiana playing Coastal Carolina had more viewers than the Stanley Cup final. And then you're wondering why. And what happens is, like, the networks, I'm flipping, you know, I go, my HD channels, right, are 1,000, right? So they're right at 1,000, and all the networks are between 1,002 and 1,021. So I just go to 1,002, and I flip, where's the Stanley Cup final? They put it on NBC Sports Network. And I was talking to our buddy Pants about this, because he's a huge Lightning fan, and he's like, dude, what were they going to do, replace This Is Us with hockey? And I was like, yeah, dude, it's the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, he's got a good point. This Is Us has really a high rating.
But dude, it's the Stanley Cup final.
I got
then,
it.
Then I'm flipping around for the ALCS and the NLCS, and I'm like, the hell is this? 1,002, 1,004, 1,007, 9, 11, 13, 6, 21? The hell is it? It's on Fox Sports 1?
I have some breaking news.
It's on Fox Sports 1? What? What's up?
They consider it breaking news. All right, Antonio Brown will visit the Bucks on Saturday, as first reported by the Houston Chronicle and confirmed by ESPN.
You know, that is nothing more than Tom Brady having more pull than he should.
By the way, breaking news on ESPN Upstate is brought to you by Indeed. Find the high-impact hire your business needs at Indeed.com/high-impact.
On your list of players that you would avoid, like the plague, avoid at all costs, Antonio Brown's on mine, Kyrie Irving's on mine.
Yeah, but Brady loves him, doesn't he?
He loves him. And that's the only reason Brady has the pull to make that happen. And it's taken him 6 weeks to have this much pull. If he had this much pull, he would have already been with the Bucks.
So if you're Antonio Brown, do you go to Seattle or do you go to Tampa?
You go to Tampa, man. Of course you go to Tampa. By the way, Lonzo, the place that I got food poisoning at, I got a direct message. This guy, Chris Marshall, okay, listens to the show. Chris, I hope you don't mind me mentioning your name. I'm not going to mention the restaurant name. He says, wow, that's crazy. My wife got food poisoning from there also a couple years ago. Oh, my God. Same place, Lonzo. Same place, food poisoning. Never experienced anything like that in my life. Never experienced anything like that.
If you win the bet, guess where your lunch is coming from?
Lonzo, if I win the bet, the hell with your entire existence. I pick where my lunch is coming from. Don't you forget it. Texter, by the way, says, Mark, I am 27. I love sports. The teams in the area I grew up, no bandwagon garbage here, but definitely feel like I'm in the minority with most in my age bracket that they just don't follow it as much anymore. Man, we got to change that. What can we do about it? Josh Pates is going to preview the weekend that will be in college football, and he'll do it next right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. We are ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, our upset pick segment for the week will be in the very next segment coming up at 4:20. Want to hear what Lonzo's taking? I will give you my upset pick of the week. I will be jotting all of yours down so I can tabulate the official standings. Remember, we made a change last week. You now get a -1 when you are wrong. So 1 point is deducted from your score each and every week that you have an incorrect pick. Lonzo just felt very strong. Lonzo believes in punishing people. I don't know what kind of masochistic history he has.
Needs to be
here.
Called the Lonzo rule. I'm down with that. Even though I'm suffering from the Lonzo rule, that's fine.
Well, you continue to suffer because you're at, negative points now for
just
the year.
-1.
Yeah,
only -1.
You're in the negative, brother. All right, joining us right now, one of our favorite segments of the week, one of your favorite segments of the week. He is the host of the Late Kick Show on YouTube, as well as the Late Kick podcast, at Late Kick Josh on Twitter. I always see you guys writing Josh and letting him know how much you appreciate him doing this and how much you enjoy the segment. I appreciate that because I really want to keep having him on. He joins us right now on the show. How you doing, my man? What's good?
I'm really good. I got a couple questions for you, but first, I just want to describe the situation. Now that we've adjusted the schedule for this week, I have had the gym that I work at, or out at here in Nashville, cordon off an entire fitness room. And so here I am alone in the fitness room. You probably hear the echo. And I'm bouncing up and down on a medicine ball, as you do. And I'm ready to talk some sports. And I'm also ready to ask you, Marcus, how are you feeling today?
Dude, let me tell you, Josh, I appreciate you asking. I've never had food poisoning in my life. Never. All I can tell you, man, is you feel like you're dying. You know, like it just hits you out of nowhere. Off the air, Josh, I'll tell you what I had and what where I went and what I did. But I'm curious, like, Josh, the second half of the show on Wednesday, I wasn't doing my best. Is what I do every time I'm not feeling my best, I take a hot shower. I get out of the hot shower, my body temp never came down from the hot shower. I'm like, man, this isn't normal. And then, man, you just start to have all the gastrointestinal stuff you can't eat. The biggest concern is that you can't, keep electrolytes and you can't keep anything down, right? I mean, that's basically the gist of it. But anyway, man, you ever gone through that at all?
Oh, yeah, I did. I've been through food poisoning. In fact, it's between lunch and dinner time. So when I throw up, it's very violent. And I ripped my vocal cords. I completely ripped my vocal cords and was worse. Yeah, I spent between two and three weeks trying to get my voice back. That was way worse than the food poisoning to me, because the food poisoning went away in like 24 hours.
I can't believe I would never know, Josh, that you ripped your vocal cords. I mean, your voice is nails on the chalkboard to me every week, but I'd never know. I'd honestly never know.
Yeah, I just went and hid for a little while out in the woods.
What's your second question for me?
Well, my second question is, I'm not so sure the Lonzo rule doesn't need to be stretched, because someone out there is just going to bet a 5-touchdown underdog every week until they hit once during the season. So I think you should divide the total amount of points the underdog is by 2, and that's how much you get subtracted. Because I've been screwed by the league office already, so I think everyone else should be screwed by their own bad picks eventually.
Listen to this. I mean, Lonzo wanted a very harsh penalty as well. I think you might be onto something there.
Yeah, see, there you go. I'm down with that. If I just happen to be that guy who does what Josh was saying, I should pay even more for trying to pick the outrageous game, hoping to just jettison right into first place. Make it that. I don't care.
There you go. There you go. All right, Josh. Alabama versus Tennessee is the game that I am most intrigued by this weekend. If this is a typical Alabama-Tennessee game, we have the verdict. The gavel is down, and we know that Tennessee has made no gains whatsoever on their previous reputation. Do they have a chance to cover? Do they have a chance to make this closer than the experts think against the vaunted Crimson Tide?
Yeah, the answer to the second part is yes, but I don't know if the first part, I don't know if this kind of game's where I draw a verdict. Like, I'm more likely to draw a verdict from last week. To me, independent of what happens to them tomorrow, if they get beat 41-0 tomorrow, that doesn't tell me nearly as much as last week told me, or the second half of the Georgia game told me. I think what's most intriguing, because I agree with you on that part, what I think is most intriguing is not only who do they start at quarterback, but like what direction do they go at quarterback? Because I've had big arguments this week with Tennessee fans, which, to be honest, I've been surprised by. I thought once they brought Harrison Bailey into that game last week, that signifies, okay, well, we're ready to put him in, like we're comfortable with him being in the game. Man, you're not salvaging anything in 2020, and your job's not on the line. Like, Jeremy Pruitt's not on a hot seat for 2020. I don't care what anyone says. Let's see what Harrison Bailey can do. And then I would get, well, you can't just throw him to the wolves. Man, listen, this is not Pee-wee football. He is a scholarship quarterback in the SEC, first off. Secondly, you've put him in games already. And thirdly, this is not exactly a vintage Alabama defense. So Josh Dobbs got his feet wet against Alabama. I don't see why in the world would hold back from Harrison Bailey, especially when it's very obvious there are no other viable options right now to me at quarterback on that roster.
You know, Josh, I've often thought about, and thankfully, as far as I know, have never come close to saying something on the air that would get me fired mid-show. Now, maybe Lonzo would dispute that, but I don't think I've ever come really close to saying something that would get me canned mid-show.
The dump button is your friend. That's all I'm saying.
That's absolutely right, and Lonzo uses it on this one liberally. But, Josh, you know, considering that Jeremy Pruitt fired one of his assistants in the middle of the game, how does that happen? I mean, that just seems beyond poor form. And I was just wondering if you have any insider backstory on that.
Yes. All right, let me put my filter on now. So it was a poor hire. There are some procedural organizational aspects of the Tennessee program that are not great. It's not exactly a well-oiled machine. This is one of the prices you pay, and you got to accept it. This is one of the prices you pay when you hire someone for a major job. Tennessee is one of the 15 biggest jobs in America. You're hiring a guy who's never been a head coach. 10 years ago, Jeremy Pruitt was sitting on a bulldozer in the middle of MTV Two-A-Days we're coaching for Russ Probst at Hoover. So he has not been a head coach, only been a coordinator at the college level for a brief period relative to some other guys in this sport. He is a brilliant football mind. Brilliant. I second to none when it comes to that. But running an organization is something that's new to Jeremy Pruitt. So you're going to have hiccups. You're going to have stumbles. We've talked about this before, Mark. A generation ago, your first job would never be Tennessee. Smart's first job would never be Georgia. Ryan Day's first job would never be Ohio State. And Lincoln Riley's first job would never be Oklahoma. You'd have to cut your teeth somewhere in the MAC or out in the WAC or Mountain West, and you'd make those mistakes out of the bright spotlight. These days, that's not the way it is. The timetable has been expedited. And so shortly after he hired that defensive line coach, it was oil and water. They didn't really mix. It was a hastily made decision. They've been butting heads the entire season. Philosophically, things were not working out. And, you know, that's a guy who's got a lot of connections to the Kentucky coaching staff. So that's why the story leaked out from the Kentucky side of things. But, yeah, it surprised me the manner in which it went down, yes. But it did not surprise me that it happened.
Josh Pate at Late Kick Josh joining us for his weekly segment here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. Greatly appreciate Josh allowing me to reschedule from Thursday to Friday. Josh, you know, it's interesting. When you think about where the Big Ten is, where the Big Ten is today and where they've been, oh, I don't know, in the last 5 or 10 years, I'm going to give them a compliment that I didn't think I would. We miss them. I don't feel that way about the Pac-12. I don't even feel like we really need the Pac-12. But we miss the Big Ten. I miss the Big Ten, and I can't wait to see the Big Ten. And frankly, I'm surprised to find myself saying that. Where do you come out on?
It's really funny, isn't it? I feel the same way. I felt myself develop this emotional attachment, which you try not to do professionally, but I felt this emotional attachment to the Big Ten when I saw what was happening and the, for lack of a better term, politicization of their season was going on up there. And so, you know, there were some people up there trying to fight for it, and I didn't even think they were doing it irresponsibly. If I felt it was irresponsible, I wouldn't have jumped on board. But, I mean, it was very commonsensical. You know, we're looking around the rest of the country, and they're getting things off the ground without much of a hitch. I think we can do it up here. So now we finally get to the season. Well, now we get to talk about Ohio State's defense and whether it's championship caliber. Now we get to talk about Jim Harbaugh's roster and the overall talent level eroding a little bit, but maybe Joe Milton at quarterback saves it and transforms the overall identity of that brand for years to come. We get to find out if PJ Fleck has year-over-year success. We get to find out if James Franklin can be the next program at Penn State that goes from the B tier to the A tier. Like, there's so much I'm looking forward to there.
I completely agree, and I think they've vaulted, they've dramatically increased the caliber of play. I think you could make an argument that they have the best coaching of any conference in college football, and I frankly can't wait to see them. I also, Josh, would be remiss if I didn't mention I was really kind of surprised at the massive Ohio State line. 26.5 points? Will they even score 26.5 points after such a long layoff?
Yeah, I think they will. That's not the part I would worry about. The part I would worry about, you know, the big concern up there is outside of linebacker, they got pretty significant question marks. I stopped short of saying worries, but question marks on the other two layers of that defense. Defensive line, a lot of greenness, talented green, a lot of the same, even with Sean Wade returning in their secondary. And here's the concern, okay? If you're into gambling, I can assure you there are much better and more attractive lines out there than Buckeyes minus 26.5, because what happens in these sorts of games, Mark, they got Penn State on deck. Okay, everyone knows that. That's baked into the number. But what happens is if they get that score run up early, Nebraska's not going to stop throwing the ball. And if you see even a fraction of the struggle in that Ohio State secondary that you've seen, let's say, with Alabama so far this year, you could quickly have a game that's 45-7 late with two touchdowns tacked on, and all of a sudden it's a 48-21, 45-21 final. Ohio State couldn't care less, but you could, because you just were the victim of a backdoor cover at the hands of Scott Frost and Nebraska.
Josh Pate joining us. Josh, seriously improved play from the Gamecocks. You saw it. You called it last week over Auburn. But is what we're seeing a blip or a trend?
Okay. Well, that's the question, obviously. That was the question this time last year. That's the question this year. Remember the excitement up there, and remember the excitement everywhere when they went into Georgia and they won. And everybody remembers the circumstance, okay? It was a turnover fest, but they took advantage of it, and that's the point. And they won. And yet, that was an island. That was a blip. It was the definition of a blip. And elsewhere, it was just a bad season. So this year, it's Cocktober again. We work our way to the same point on the schedule, and they get the win at Vanderbilt. Then they get the big win over Auburn, upset fashion, and then, well, mild upset fashion. And now they get to go on the road, and I cannot stress enough to the listening audience there how much of a wreck LSU is behind the scenes right now. There is scandal on top of scandal on top of scandal. Not to mention, they're out a starting quarterback. Their defense has been a sieve. And here comes South Carolina. It almost feels like they're an afterthought, like, no one even knows who LSU is playing Saturday. They just know LSU is playing Saturday. So Will Muschamp gets to win a couple of games, and they kind of sneak on into Baton Rouge. Got a, you know, 15, 20,000 people max in the stand, so it's not the usual Saturday night Death Valley mystique. I think they're going to win the game straight up. I picked them to win the game straight up. So you give me the points, but I'll just take them to win straight up. I am teetering on making that my upset pick. The only reason I'm teetering is because I have a feeling someone on this show is going that way too, and I don't want to be a copycat.
There you go. So let's get that upset pick from you, Josh, because foreshadowing, Josh made a good hint there about what my upset pick of the week could very well be. Where are you going?
I'm going to an ice cold pick. I haven't heard anyone else on it all week. I think Missouri is going to beat Kentucky. So they're sitting at 5.5 right now. And I really feel like Missouri, I'm catching a double here. So it's a do up, do down. Love that spot. Missouri unexpectedly had a week off last week, and it came right as their offense had started to fire. So you gave one of the better offensive minds in the country a little extra time to prepare with finally the quarterback that should have been starting all year in Connor Bazelak. And then you couple that with the fact that Kentucky just got a program-defining win. It's a back-to-back road spot. They're in the most do-down spot they'll be in all year. And they're a 5.5-point favorite on the road. I will take Missouri to win outright as a 5.5-point underdog.
I'm just surprised you think they're close enough to Kentucky talent-wise to do that. I've said this week, Josh, one of the things I've learned about the SEC this year is that if you have a game, no matter who you are, in which you are beating yourself, Kentucky will beat you. And I don't care if your team name is Alabama. I learned that last week. I've been learning that about the Mark Stoops operation the last 2 years, I think.
Yes, but so we do a lot of data and trend analysis on this. Those are words that I barely know how to spell, but we do a lot of it. And you find that turnovers are not a predictable stat. Teams that are prone to being plus in the turnover margin, that can be predictable over a year-to-year stretch, but over a game-to-game stretch, you would think that it's not random, but it's still very randomized. So I ask myself, who's more likely to suffer from the turnover bug here? A team that's at home with an off week to prepare and started to hit their groove offensively, or a team that just benefited from a ton of turnovers the week before, going back out on the road again in an emotional letdown spot? I think actually we could end up seeing Kentucky be bitten by the very thing that's been their elixir so far this year.
Wow. Very, very interesting. Josh going with Missouri over Kentucky. And Josh, I'll tell you what, man, I am always fascinated with coaches' hot seat rankings, with the coaching carousel. The natives are restless in Austin, Texas right now. Can you give me a feel as to just how hot that seat is in Austin, Texas?
Extremely. And
wow.
It's extremely hot. Yeah, not just in message board culture or talk show culture, because that's stuff that changes every week sometimes. It's hot because the right people have lit the fire. And there's, I don't know how familiar people are with the subculture out there, but there's a lot going on culturally beneath the scenes there too. There's, you know, their fight song and the Eyes of Texas whole deal. There were a lot of people who thought they acquiesced more than enough to a lot of the demands of the student athletes in the off season. And yet here we are, and people are refusing to stay on the field for the fight song, yada, yada, yada. So people, if it was 4-5-0, they know it wouldn't be a big deal. But because they're not 4-5-0, they view Tom Herman as having sort of lost control of the wheel. I don't totally disagree, and that's just if we're talking about the football side of things, Mark. If it's kind of like Florida. If not this year, when is Texas going to do it? I would even describe them like that more so than Florida this year. They've got all the experience at quarterback. They got the number 5 roster in America per our talent composite. I mean, Oklahoma came in there reeling. They barely had a foot to stand on and yet still figured out a way to beat them. So if my expectations were 8-4, I wouldn't mind. It's just another year. Oh, well, we'll get them next year. This is Texas, man. You don't accept anything less than contending for a championship. And I don't care how long the drought's been. You just keep swinging because Alabama sucked for a long time, too. They kept swinging and kept swinging. Then they found something called Nick Saban. How'd that turn out for them? So you just keep swinging. And you can have people tell you, oh, it's crazy to dream for Urban Meyer or whoever you want. You're Texas. So until it's proven otherwise, expect that you can get whatever you want.
What's coming up on Late Kick tonight, Josh?
Absolutely nothing, Mark, because it's Friday.
Oh, my God. Dude, can you ever imagine that I've been out of it this week? I bet that
he was ready for that. You could tell. He knew you were going to do that.
Good gosh, man. We're all creatures of habit, man. What did I miss on Late Kick last night, Josh?
Yeah, I had that pod already queued up, so that was just a recording. Now, this is me actually talking. We had a great night last night. Somehow I figured out a way to do previews and predictions for 8 football games tomorrow and also did 3 season predictions for Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan. I gave out 5 best bets, and again, I want to stress to the listening audience, I did all that in under 45 minutes. So I don't know what I deserve, but I think I deserve something.
I invite you to subscribe on YouTube to the Late Kick Show on YouTube, also to his podcast, which is available anywhere you can hear podcasts, Late Kick with Josh Pate. Appreciate it, pal. Thank you so very much. Have a wonderful weekend.
All right, guys. You too.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's check and see what you guys are saying here on the text line. What restaurant is it? Lonzo, do you agree with me it's advisable for me not to say that?
Yeah, don't do that.
Okay, so I won't say what restaurant it is, but I'll give you a hint. How about that? The initials are the same thing as something you loved as a kid that you would eat out of the jar. Lonzo didn't eat anything out of a jar, so he doesn't know what I'm talking about. But the initials are the same thing as something you loved as a kid that you ate out of a jar.
Fake news. I've eaten pickles out of a jar. Fake news.
Texter said, let's see here. Mark, you were wondering why the ratings are down. This goes to Lonzo's point. He says, started hiking. Feel better, sleep better. I don't miss it. Former huge football fan, though, 54 years old. Well, thanks for still listening, man. I mean, I appreciate it. Sorry we've lost you as a sports fan, but that's exactly what Lonzo was talking about. You give people a chance to find something else, maybe they stay with something else. All right, let us hit it with either or to close the show today. A couple of options on life and sports. Either or starts right now. All right, Lonzo, what do you got?
All right, if you read my blog on ESPN Upstate, not too many people have, including Mark, you know that I have a dilemma tomorrow, and that would be three things happening all at once. Ohio State Buckeyes are back playing, UFC is happening at the same time in the middle of the day, and one of the guys that I grew up watching as a kid, and a lot of people have, Anthony Michael Hall, is going to be in town for an autograph signing. Which one should I do?
Tell me about the last guy.
Weird Science, Breakfast Club, Vacation.
Okay. Yes.
Have you seen any of those?
Yes, I have. I think you got to go with Ohio State, Nebraska, man. You're a traditionalist. Stick with tradition. What are you going to do, though? That's the thing.
That's the way I was leaning until my wife came up with a solution, which is, we be there by noon. We meet Anthony Michael Hall while recording Ohio State, which I already have recording.
Then I can text you the score. Fantastic. I'll text you all the score updates,
Lonzo.
Dude,
I don't care. They're going to win. And then we'll make it back home in time to watch UFC.
Hey, everybody, text Lonzo the score tomorrow, okay? Let him know. Hey, tell him Justin Fields is out for the year tomorrow.
That's messed up, man. That's messed up. That's so messed up.
All right. Lonzo, if you were a projected first-round pick in the NFL draft and this season was happening, would you be playing or would you have declared?
I would declare, and here's the reason why. This is my turn to speak, I would declare because money, for one thing, and chances are the team that's really bad is going to be that bad again next year, and I might as well go ahead and get paid, and if I believe in myself – and I know I'm going number one, then I am the guy to turn the thing around.
What if you don't know if you're going number one? What if you're a projected first-round pick? You don't know where you're going in the first round. You're still going, right?
Yeah, I'm still going.
Yeah, I'm not, because I'm a college guy. College is a special place to me. College, for me, was the best
You don't make millions of dollars in college.
College, for me, was the best 7.5 years of my life, man. And I would want to be BMOC, big man on campus, yet again. Last one, Lonzo, what do you got?
All right, Khabib versus Gaethje tomorrow. Who you got?
Khabib in a landslide. By the way, did you see how relieved he was to make weight?
Yes.
How do you get your strength back after doing that to yourself?
Oh, a lot of hydration and other things. I'm going with Gaethje.
What are the other things?
Khabib hasn't fought in like a year and months, so I'm going with Gaethje. Gaethje's on fire right now.
It's going to be Khabib. Watch. What are the other things that get your energy back?
Water, food, electrolytes.
Okay. I thought you had something insidious there.
No.
You know?
No.
Okay.
I've had to cut weight for wrestling before. It's the same sort of thing.
Okay. I'm going Khabib. We should have done a Lonzo's Fight Club for this, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not doing that anymore.
What are you talking about? Since when?
Since last time you blew me off and left me in the green room.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you guys have a wonderful weekend. It was awesome to be back with you guys today. Have a wonderful weekend. Will we be proud of the Gamecocks come Monday? This is the most interactive sports radio show in the entire state of South Carolina. Have a great weekend, everybody. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.